what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but each sound effect has a positive effect on people. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, most news has a negative effect on people. Ouch. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because we desire to have the effect of helping people get one step closer to the Lord. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy running.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience Local. National and Heavenly Talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I promise you. We have no idea what's going to happen. I promise you that, too. And we don't care. Maybe. For the next few minutes, though, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's a great question. What affects you the most? And does it affect you in a positive way or in a negative way? And what is that that really, really affects you? For some people, it's the outcome of a football game. For other people, it's their bank account. For other people, it's their time in the Lord. For other people, it's... Yeah, there you go. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness because we find that that would just be sad. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, oh my, 972, oh my, 445, oh my, 0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite. Dynamite!
Talking to Dynamite D is just like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
I'll take that every day.
I'd take that right now. Like 90 group texts going
wow.
on. Like, whoa, gotta keep it down, gotta keep it down. Here is the bottom line. You know you can reach out to us. You can also, by the way, not just by phone, which is cool because the phone, it works. That's good. But you can also do it by text. So I know that people are in San Diego. It's 11:35 and 7 seconds right now in San Diego. It is 11:35 and 10 seconds in Dallas. Here's the deal. You can call that phone number. You can text in. You can also send an email. Makes that really good. But here's the text number if you want to text. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483.
214-210-8483. 8-3.
See, we did it a little slower so people can get to it. See, that's...
That was like a little choppy version.
That's like very, 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 like, you know, split up there. You can also send an email. That's not as fun in the sense that it takes me a little extra to get to it, but it's totally doable, and it does get there about 30 seconds late. You send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website as we always do. There's always cool stuff on the website. I really hope that people will check out yesterday's show about being real as opposed to being a fake Christian. And by that, we mean being who you are, not trying to promote yourself as something different than you are. That podcast is up there on the site. We also encourage you to check out all the other stuff on the site, like the prayer forms for prayer requests, for praise reports. You have that opportunity Of course, we want you praying for one another, but here's the scripture that we use for people that want to donate. Today's scripture, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. So you honor the Lord with what you got, but you don't give him leftover. Even if you don't have give nothing to us at all, ever, don't care. You don't give God leftovers. He doesn't give you leftovers. It's like, that's the way to think of it. Check all that stuff out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
That's all, folks.
For those of you that are trying to figure out what goes through my mind on most of these, that's pretty much right there.
I would agree with that, Dave. That seems to be fit.
A little bit of cartoon, a little bit of exit. That's pretty much what we got. If you are in San Diego, the K-Brite app does work fine for this show. Simply go use the K-Brite app, and at the very bottom it says live stream, and under live stream you hit San Diego. That's pretty good. And then also for the KAAM app, you can just hit the KAAM app. Well, that's a lot of A's. And just listen to the show. Or we have an app for ourselves, our own show, on hemustincrease.org. We got to get into the text. I'm going to give everybody a warning ahead of time. Last time I taught on this, we got a really nasty letter about somebody who was really upset about that. All we ever do is talk about giving.
Dave, let me say this, Dave, and I said it last time, and they may be new to the show. You actually really didn't like talking about this. Like, God had to move on you to talk about it. So I just had to put that out there, Dave.
Well, I appreciate it. 10,000 messages, less than 100 of them on giving. I just want to point that out. And yet, what's today's? Well, we're in 2 Corinthians 9. So what do you think it's on? We only go by what the scripture says. We don't really care about the rest of it. Here is where we're at. We're at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're at verse 13, and let's get straight to it. Here is what the text says. And listen to this, because this is some really cool stuff. I mean, really like this stuff. This is verse 13 in 2 Corinthians 9, and it says this. And this will be the end of 2 Corinthians 9 after this. Because of the proof of this ministry that it provides, the saints will glorify God for your obedient confession of the gospel of Christ and for the generosity of your contribution to them. Just slow your roll. Stop. The proof of the ministry. Well, what ministry has he been talking about since chapter 9, verse 1 through right here, chapter 9, verse 12, and now we're at 13. It's the proof of the ministry of their giving to other churches. You understand what's going on here? In other words, everybody's kind of thinking, oh, the preachers are doing it, and all they want is the money, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, first of all, that's rubbish and very immature. What's really going on here is this is a whole group of churches giving to another group of churches. That's what's going on. And they're very appreciative. So Paul mentions this ministry of giving provides proof through the ability to see the giving that is taking place. That giving that takes from one group of churches to another group of churches, from one city of churches to another city of churches, is absolute visible proof of the ministry. There's no way to get around that. And the proof is in the witnessing of the financial sacrifices that brothers and sisters are making on the behalf of other brothers and sisters, which is why I maintain, and I strongly maintain this, that you should be giving in multiple places, not a couple. I do think you got to take care of home base, but I think you need to give across the board. You should think of yourself as an agent of the Lord, a steward of the Lord, and wherever you're going, if the Lord shows you something and you know you can help with it, you should help. Just like anybody else who comes into your life and you are able to bandage them up, you know, like the Good Samaritan story, or feed them or do anything else. And what do we say that's all based on? Time, talent, and treasure. Come on. So this proof leads to what? And this is the most important part. And I don't care what anybody, if you don't like giving, fine, don't give. You don't give to me, don't give. I don't care. Not going to affect me. Your giving is not going to matter to me. It's going to matter to you and God. So that's all that matters. And so what it comes down to is, what does their giving do? What is the response? It says this, because the proof of the ministry provides, the saints will glorify God. Okay? Now, do you got your ESV handy there? You got it ready? Do it from verse 13.
This is the NIV.
That's the NIV. 13. That's okay. Just do the NIV from verse 13 in 2 Corinthians 9. What
because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else.
All right, stop right there. So there's like five things there. They all say the exact same thing. So what will happen? Men will praise God. They will glorify God. What do you mean they will glorify God? Because the giving from one group to another proves the ministry, and their obedience to the confession of the gospel coupled with their giving is something that people will go, thank God Almighty for that. It's so cool. And we don't see it that way. But when you give, when you're alert like an agent or a steward for God, and you're walking this planet and you're alert, and then you give to somebody, right? And you just give to them. I'm going to give you an example that happened with Noel and I in a second. But you just give to them, and you give to them, and it just blesses them. And then they praise God for it. It's like, that's the system. That's what's going on. So one time, I'll just tell you, we were at one of the dinner theaters, and when we were traveling, so we lived in, California. So it's not hard to go to one of the dinner theaters in, Buena Park. I'll just leave it there. And so the medieval times didn't start in Dallas. Anyway, the point is, we go, right? We go there, and this gal, you go to medieval times, you get into it, it's the jousting and all the other stuff. But anyway, we just, this gal who took care of us, there was the waitress, we just had this huge impression. Like, we're just going to give her a huge tip, more than the bill. We're going to give her this huge tip, right? We're just trying to figure it out, but we're trying to follow the Lord just like everybody else. No, nothing weird about that. We ended up giving her this tip. It wasn't like a massive amount, but it was a pretty good sizable amount. She comes to us after the show, after everybody's leaving, after everything's done, and she asks us and says, why did you give that kind of tip? And we said, well, it just felt like that's what we were supposed to do. And you want to know what happened? That's how much she was short on her rent. That's what I'm talking about. See that? That's what's cool. That's what's awesome. Because then you get to be an instrument. More than the show, although the show was good, and more than the food, the food wasn't that great, was that we got to be an instrument to the glory of God by the giving. And so what we need to understand is this. Many functions in ministry are within faith, and they cannot be seen. They're not tangible. There's a commitment of prayer, and you wait upon the Lord. But this ministry of giving is specific, and it can be witnessed. And their obedience to God's command connects, and you better listen to this because I'm going to make it super easy. Their obedience to God's command connects the proclamation of the gospel and their contributions. And you think, well, what do you mean by that? When they gave, listen, this is super important. When they gave, they were connecting their confession and their giving. How important is that? I'll ask you this question and you can answer it for me. God so loved the world that he gave. Let's just, you're going to undo that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can't change that. The contribution that comes with the obedience to the gospel and a response to other people is closely connected and has always been connected. And in John 3:16, it'll be forever connected. It can't change. I just want you to catch that. Don't miss that. Does that mean you should give here? No. But does that mean you should be a giver? Yes. That's what it means. Now, do we have somebody who's got a question, comments, something they want to share? Yeah, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is your little brother.
What's going on, brother?
No, not much. I'm just listening. Whoever made that complaint, may the Lord bless them and give them his grace.
Yep.
Because to be honest, since I have listening you, I think since 2017, whenever you started, I never ever experienced that you ever twist somebody's arm through the scripture for giving. Never ever. And thank you for proving that through the nearly infallible version, NIV. Yeah. So maybe they are coming from a somewhere they got hurt with.
That's
the
it. You hit it. You hit it right there. That's what I pray. Just pray that they wouldn't be bitter anymore because something happened and it wasn't good. And I know that. I know that feeling on both ends of both receiving and giving. I know it pretty well.
Yes, and there's no doubt the church organization or the mission organization missed use and
So
let's not go into that detail. But my point is. I have never ever experienced that you ever pushed somebody or twisted the scripture or your point of view for giving. No. That's not true.
I mean, if I'm going to twist something, I'll do it when we're building a house where I get all the people that know construction. I'm just saying. That's what you ask me about it. That's what I want to do. Anyway, no, I appreciate that, brother. And I don't want to dwell on it. I just want to do the team. But I want people to aware. This what's bad is that every giving has to be in one place. No, it isn't. It wasn't like that for Jesus. It wasn't like that for the early church, and it shouldn't be like that for us. We should give all over.
Even through Jesus' ministry, if you look at the Luke illustration, like the women, they gave their personal means to Jesus and his disciples so they could carry on the ministry. Because, you know, ministry need some Benjamin Franklin to keep running the train, you know?
Yep, got it. Yeah. I appreciate that, brother.
Cool. Do you have any trivia question? I might have an answer.
Okay. All right, I'll give you an easy one. You want an easy one or a hard one?
No, give me the hardest.
All right, what city did Samson die in?
Jericho?
No. Okay. Was it Vegas, Jerusalem, or Gaza?
Gaza
is correct. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I did stump you, though, huh?
Yeah.
All right, brother.
All right.
Good
well,
call.
Bless you, brother. And I'm praying for the people that I committed, and I'm going to keep praying for them.
So I appreciate that, bro.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Thank you for your ministry.
You're welcome, bro.
God bless you. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. Back to the text because we're not done. Okay, so back to the text. I love this, by the way. If you look at that connection, it's like, wow. And that story I was telling you about that waitress, that is just, it's true. It's cool. And it's like you would never guess it. And it's just like, cool, right? And believe me, compared to the meal, the blessing that we gave to her was substantially better. Let's just say it that way. So here is something that is fascinating because it's not over with. We're at the very end of it. He says this in verse 14, and he says this in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 9, and their prayers for you will express their affection for you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. So now look, now this is why this stuff's cool. And if we could teach it without the wackadoodles, you know, firing, you know, sirens and stuff and promising, you know, Ferraris and stuff, it'd be great. But the apostle makes this brilliant observation. He says, because of ministry, these people are praying for you. So they recognize those people cannot pay back that final financial aspect. Why? Because the one group is much poorer than the other group. And so they can't pay it back financially, but they can pay it back spiritually. So these people who are receiving the gifts, they enter into the ministry of prayer for those who have helped them in this tough time. It's just so good if you get it. And so when they pray, they're filled with affection because of the manifestation of grace given through the giving of the other people. So when they pray, they got passion because they're appreciative of what's happened for them. I mean, isn't that just like, what? That is, if you think about how cool that really is, it's lights out phenomenal.
I think, Dave, what it does, too, it lets you know this is a spiritual thing as much as it is a physical thing.
It's exactly what it is, the mentality that God wants us to have. And that's why we say time, treasure, and talent, because sometimes you don't have the treasure or time, talent, and treasure. You don't have the money or the means, but you can have the time or you can have the talent. You can put your hands to something. You can do something. You can offer yourself. That's what's being talked about. And so in this case, it is specifically financial because the other church was hurting. But look at how the Lord coordinates one church to help another, and then that other church getting help becomes these passionate prayers for the other church. And you see, if you only gave in one place, you would never get this. You wouldn't even understand this. That's why you got to be a vessel of giving. Just open it up. You will bless people you cannot even – your brain can't – the Lord will coordinate. Does that mean that you should have nothing? And you know, it's so clear. Give what you've decided in your heart. But if you're going to give it, be the vessel that God wants you to be to give it. That's all there is. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here's an incredible conclusion to chapter 9 when he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And what is the actual gift? I'm going to tell you the actual gift. It's actually going to surprise you. It's when one part of the body takes care of another part of the body. That's number one. Wait, what? You see, because even though there is a, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and everybody arguing whether it's five or four, as though that were the key in the text. That's what's so funny. It says that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in Ephesians 4:12 are there to equip the saints for ministry. I don't care if it's 4 or 5 or 50 or what. Who cares? You're missing the point when you're focusing on that. The point is that it's the saints that are equipped for ministry. Everybody can hear my voice. You are the ministers of God. That's the whole point. Professional ministry? What is that? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Don't live in that realm. Live in the realm that Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus comes and he shows everybody what's going on. He gives them the truth, right? And then when he does with the 12 guys, right? Go do it. I showed you. I told you about it. Now go do it. I'm going to show you. I'm doing it. Now I'm sending you out. That's the ministry. Jesus was the teacher. They were the disciples. Boom. They went and did it. Why? Because 12 can cover more territory than one. That's why. And so the first part about this is that it's just incredible. One part of the body takes care of another part. You know, I love to teach and I love to encourage. Hey, I need other people praying for me and ministering to me because I need help. That's where it comes from. Like, okay. So thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One part of the body takes care of another part of the body. It is how the body of Jesus Christ is meant to function. Everybody taking care of one another on all different levels and in all different ways. This is what Jesus had in mind when he said, love one another as I have loved you, and you will be witnesses to the world. So this is Jesus telling all of us through his word, testify. Testify, taking care of one another. So really, you should really get from this teaching, you are a vessel and an instrument of the Most High God. And you determine in your own heart, just look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, each one should give as he's decided in his heart. And then you be the director of those funds. You are the steward. You handle that. You walk with God hand in hand, close enough, that if somebody comes along in your life or you hear of something or you know of something and your heart's just pounding towards it, be a vessel for it. Be a steward of it. It probably strikes you for a purpose, not accidentally. And I'm really bad at this. Just so you can know, I'm confessing. I do legalism in the giving. I do that for me. I just get stuck in it sometimes. So I pray that the Lord will get me out of it, because being legalistic in how I give is stupid. I don't have to do that. I do it because I'm a legalist in those things. It's what I struggle with. So I'm just saying, Dan, don't do that. And we give now. We give to, it's like, it's almost up to 20 different places that we're given now. It's like, because that's cool. All right. All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, just so you can know, we only got about 20 seconds left on the K-Brite app. You can keep listening to the access. Great shows on K-Brite, 1240 a.m. But if you want to listen to this show, you're going to have to go to hemusincrease.org and click on Listen Live. For everybody in Dallas, we're going to hang out, because if you think this was interesting, what do you see the next section we're going to get into? Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our words will justify us or condemn us. And we understand our words will justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts. So therefore, in conclusion, that our words justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts, we need to remember and operate and function in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Which says this, and actually you can even look at verse 19. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that by your words you're justified and condemned. Because you know they reveal your heart, you ought to make sure that you follow the scriptures that Paul commands us to follow, and you ought to be being thankful in everything. You ought to be being thankful in everything. And if you are thankful in everything, that will be a part of your verbalization or your speech, and that will be a revelation as to what's in your heart. Are you a thankful Christian? For everything. And you say, well, Dave, I'm thankful that he saved me, but I'm going through this trial and I don't like it. I'm not so thankful for the trial. And I say, I understand. I understand that. And again, not a new revelation coming right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells you the ticket, the method, the system by which you can be thankful in everything. Dave, are you going to mean I should be thankful in a divorce proceeding? I should be thankful that my brother is a drug addict? I should be thankful that I'm going bankrupt? I should be thankful that these terrible things are happening? Or that I should be thankful that I can't sleep? No, I think you should read Romans 8:28 with me and respond to this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So I think the answer is, can you be thankful in all those things? Yes. For going through a divorce? No. But that God is going to work into your lives good things through this process? Absolutely. If you don't believe that God is going to work things that are good into your lives in your trial, you don't believe anything he says. Because one of the greatest premises that Jesus laid down is, and I caught this just earlier this week, let not your hearts be troubled. There will be trouble in the world. I've overcome the world. It's like, but Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, as though we had a choice. We do. We do. And we should be thankful in all of it while we're going through for the actual drug addiction. No, but that God's not going to give up on the person. He's going to work good out of it.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.